Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Norma Mintz, and today we will be studying Daniel Perachet, Chapter 8. Yesterday, we learned Perak Zion, in which Daniel sees a vision of four beasts in a dream. He learns that the four beasts each represent a kingdom that would precede the final and eternal kingdom, which would be that of Mashiach. In Perachet, which, by the way, is written in Biblical Hebrew again, we encounter another vision of Daniel. This vision takes place 2 years after our previous vision, in the third year of Belshazzar, in the city of Shushan by the river of Ulai. There, he finds a ram with two tall horns standing by the river, though one horn is taller than the other. The ram gores in all four directions, defeating all other beasts. As Daniel watches this, a male goat with a horn between his eyes comes charging from the west, seemingly without touching the ground. The goat angrily and strongly attacks the ram and kills it thoroughly. It then grows in size until its horn shatters, and it then grows four new horns that reach toward the four directions of the winds. One of those horns grows a smaller horn, which grows towards the south and the east. And Pasuk Tet, or 9, ends with the words, the El Hatzvi. And this is translated as, toward the beautiful land. This is a reference to Eretz Yisrael, which is also known as Eretz Hatzvi. So, the he-goat's power will reach towards Israel. The horn then continues to grow to the heavens until, Pasuk says, it drags down stars and tramples them, also doing damage to the prince of the heavens and causing the temple service to be interrupted and disgraced. The text then references that this interruption to the temple service will also take place due to the sins of the people. Daniel then hears a conversation between two holy ones, where one asks the other how long this will have to be endured. In verse 14, we read, "Vayomer Eli, Ad Erev Boker Alpaim Ushlosh Ma'ot Venitzdak Kodesh." And he said unto me, "Until evening, morning, 2,300, then shall the sanctuary be corrected." Daniel is confused, and he tries to understand his vision, when he finds a man standing before him, and hears a voice telling that man, who is apparently the angel Gabriel, to explain the dream to Daniel. Daniel is afraid, and he falls upon his face, but Gabriel approaches him and explains that the vision Daniel saw was concerning Et Ketz, the time of the end. Daniel falls into a kind of sleep, but Gabriel stands him upright. Gabriel then spells out much of the dream, not only with generalities, but with many specific, historically grounded details. He explains that the ram represents Paras and Madai. The two horns then make sense to us, as the Persian Empire was much greater and longer than the Median Empire, so the longer horn is, of course, Persia. He then continues to explain that the he-goat represents the kingdom of Greece, and that the horn between its eyes represents its first king, with the four horns that follow standing for four smaller and less dominant kingdoms that follow. The commentators generally understand the first horn to mean Alexander the Great, and the four horns are likely the larger forces that emerged from the wars of the Diadochi, perhaps Philip, Antigonus, Ptolemy, and Seleucus. Pasuk Kaf Gimel, verse 23, tells us about a king who will emerge after these events, Melech Azpanim Umevin Chidot, a king of fierce countenance who understands riddles, or perhaps stratagems. This king will go on to do great damage to the people of Israel, though his end will come unceremoniously. Rashi understands this to be Titus, the Roman Empire who leads the destruction of the Second Temple. Many other commentators, such as Ibn Ezra and Abravanel, continue with the more literal understanding of the Perek, assuming we are still dealing with the Greek kingship, and they therefore identify this king as Antiochus the IV, the evil king of the Hanukkah story. Gabriel ends his message to Daniel by telling him that everything he saw was true, but that he should keep it hidden as it belongs to the distant future. Daniel faints and feels sick following his experience, and the parrot closes with him saying that while he went back to his duties, he continued to be troubled by the vision, which he did not understand. One of the details of this parak that has caused great consternation over time is the strange detail in verse 14, in which we are told a number of years it will take until Mashiach comes, if that is truly how the verse is meant to be understood. As I mentioned regarding yesterday's parak, we are generally told that it is forbidden to engage in Chishuv Haketz, the calculation of the end of days. Yet, that has not stopped many pious individuals from doing so over time. The number 2,300 that we find in our parak has caught the attention of many, though there is no agreement for when the count of these years should begin. As some examples, Rav Sadia HaGaon understood that we should begin our count from the time of Yitziat Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt. Rashi, who was born after Rasag's date had passed, used a complicated system to come up with a year, and it involved other numbers in addition to the 2,300 of our parak. The Ramban thought the 2,300 years began with the building of the first Beit HaMikdash. The Abravanel began his count at the splitting of the kingdom of Israel into two in the days of Rehovam and Yerovam. And the Malbim said that we should begin the 2,300 years from the time of Daniel's vision. The latest of these calculations is therefore the Malbim's, which would have concluded at some time in the 20th century, in the early 20th century. Now regarding this issue, Rashi writes, "But we are certain that God's word will be upheld. It will never be annulled, and we shall await the promise of our king one appointed time after another. And concerning the appointed time that was previously derived, we now know that his calculations were wrong, and whoever comes after him will seek and calculate in a different manner." This is to say, we may be disappointed by the fact that Mashiach has not yet been realized. We must retain our hope and try again. I would add that this should also include our efforts to hasten Mashiach through our actions, and not only through our calculations and through the passage of time. Regarding this idea, Yeshayahu brings Hashem's perspective in his Sefer, in the 60th chapter, verse 22. "Ani Hashem bi'ita achishena. I, the Lord, will hasten it in due time." Regarding this verse, Rashi comments that it offers two paths to the coming of Mashiach. "If they are worthy, I will hasten it. If they are not worthy, it will be in its time." God will grant us Mashiach when the appointed time arrives, but we may bring about his coming sooner if we align our will with God's and do what we can to bring about the arrival of Mashiach. Finally, I'll share a novel approach to this parak by Rav Yaakov Midan. Rav Midan points out that verse 14 does not simply speak about 2,300 years. It simply states, "Until evening, morning, 2,300, then the sanctuary be corrected." Rabbi Dan points out the strange phrasing of evening, morning, and he reminds us this passage is speaking about the continuous offering in the temple, which took place twice daily in the morning and evening. He then offers the possibility that this passage is not meant to predict an event after 2,300 years, but perhaps it refers to the end of the Greek kingdom that so terrorized the Jewish people under the reign of Antiochus IV, or Antiochus Epiphanes. He calculates that the temple service was forced to stop under Antiochus' rule for 1,139 days. And since there were two daily korbanot of the korbanot tamid, the continual offerings, this would add up to 2,278 offerings, a number quite close to 2,300, and the Torah often does round numbers when giving calculations. Rav Midan therefore posits that Daniel's prophecy may be pointing to the Hasmonean rule that redeems the Jewish people following the tyranny of Antiochus. While the Hasmonean rule certainly did not usher in the days of Mashiach, this vision may be asserting that it had great potential that was unfortunately not realized, very much the way others in our history, for instance, harbored such potential, such as Chizkiyahu in the time of Yeshayahu. Today, we learn the eighth parak of Sefer Daniel. Daniel sees a vision of a ram with two horns, one larger than the other, who gores in all directions, until a stronger he-goat with a horn between his eyes arrives from the west, killing the ram. The he-goat grows and his horn shatters, becomes four new horns, one of which grows an offshoot that grows in the direction of Eretz Yisrael. And the goat ultimately does even damage to the heavens and the service of the Beit HaMikdash. Daniel overhears two holy ones discussing that this all will have to be endured for 2,300 units of time, And then Gavriel then explains to him that this vision describes the empires of Persia and Mede and of Greece. He warns Daniel that his vision is true, but that it should be obscured since it belongs to the future. And Daniel remains troubled by his visions. Thank you for studying together the Iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther Bat Zvi Yosef.